Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in the last section, Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. In summary, I'm going to read from verse 1, and a great sign was seen in heaven. A woman had been clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and over her head was a crown of 12 stars. And we learn from Genesis 37 that we're talking about the nation Israel. She is the woman that John saw. She was having a child in her womb, and we shared with you that's a present participle. She was continually pregnant. While continually pregnant, she is crying out, while continually in birth pains, and while continually in labor pains to give birth. And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail drags or draws a third of the stars of heaven. And he threw them into the earth. And the dragon has been standing before the woman, the one being about to give birth, in order that whenever she should give birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a male son, a male child, who is about to shepherd all the nations in an iron rod. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place there which has been prepared from God, in order that there they might nourish her for 1,260 days. So we have the dragon, and he's going to be introduced to us as being Satan. Down through history, from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, until the present hour, this chapter represents what's going on in the spirit realm. The nation Israel has been laboring and in birth pains for many years to give birth to the Messiah. And Satan has been waiting. He's been standing in front of the woman, waiting to devour the child when she gives birth to him. And we've studied the history of how Satan has brought death not only to the leaders of the Jewish nation, but also specifically to the seed of David, the family of David. And even after the birth of Christ, the killing of the children in order to try to kill off the king of the Jews. Once Satan was told that he would be defeated by the Messiah, he has been looking for the Messiah to kill the Messiah so that he, that is Satan, would not be defeated. But there's another reason why Satan is after the woman and after the man-child, is because now, after having thought he had killed the Messiah on the cross, is the Messiah rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven. So even through death, Satan was defeated. And the Son of God now sits at the right hand of the Father. Well, Satan has one more opportunity. Since the ascension of Jesus Christ, Satan has been arranging and rearranging the governmental systems of the world and the economic and political and religious systems of the world in order to prepare for the second coming of Christ. So he now says that what more can I do to this Messiah except have him killed? Even he can defeat that. And he rose from the dead and ascended up to the Father. So now he says, I've got one more shot. And that's at his second coming when he comes to set up his kingdom here on the earth. So what's happening today in our world's systems is Satan rearranging things to bring about eventually a one world government, to where Satan, not so that he can control people, but so that under his control, he can round up an army of millions that will gather together in the Valley of Megiddo to fight against Jesus Christ at his second coming. That's the purpose for this whole thing. And the way that he rounds up his recruits, it's through the world system, through the anger and the frustration that people will become angry at each other and frustrated with each other. And then that hostility and that anger is going to be channeled towards God. So that when Satan says it's time, everybody will meet in the Valley of Megiddo, the people are going to be angry. They're going to be mad. Satan will have them, as he thinks, in his grip. After Israel gives birth to Messiah, it says she flees into the wilderness. Here is the reason why, verse 7. And there became a war took place in heaven. Michael and his angels made war against the dragon, and the dragon made war and his angels. And they, that is the dragon and his angels, did not have strength, neither was their place found anymore yet in heaven. Satan has a place in heaven, even right now. He's before the throne of God, and he is accusing believers day and night to get permission from God to touch various areas of their physical life. Well, there will be a war in heaven. They will be removed from their place, and the great dragon, the snake of old, the one being called devil and Satan, the one misleading the whole inhabitable world, was cast down into the earth. And his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brothers was cast down, the one accusing them before our God day and night. And they themselves will overcome him on account of the blood of the Lamb and on account of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even until death. On account of this, be glad, O heavens, and the ones who are tabernacling in them. Woe to the ones dwelling upon the earth and the sea, because the devil was cast down to you, having great fury, having known that he has but a short time. For today, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down into the earth, he pursued the woman." Notice the literal translation. Most English translations have the word persecuted. Well, that's what this word is usually translated in the Bible, is persecuted. But it's literally to chase. That's what persecution means. He, that is the dragon, was pursuing or chasing the woman who gave birth to the male child. And they were given to the women wings of a great eagle, in order that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where they are nourishing her there time and times and a half of a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out or spewed out of his mouth water as a river after the woman, in order that he might cause her to be carried away by the river. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and devoured or swallowed the river which the dragon cast or spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was angry over the woman, and he went out to make war with the rest of her seed. Interesting, we have a mention of a seed again. That is, the ones who are keeping the commandments of God and the ones who are having the testimony of Jesus Christ. Last week we studied in verses 7 through 12, the great war in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against Satan and his angels, that is his demons. And the end result of this great war was won when Satan was cast out of his last place that he was allowed into, and that is before the throne of God. When he rebelled against God, he was removed from his position as the head angel. But after he rebelled, he was allowed to come before the throne and accuse believers day and night. We see that example in Job chapters 1 and 2. But then, once he was kicked out and thrown down into the earth, now you have really a very chaotic spiritual condition upon the earth. None of this has happened yet. Remember that the ascension of the man-child, and the next order is the woman fleeing into the wilderness, and we'll see that that has not happened yet. But when that happens, then there'll be this war in heaven, and Satan will be cast out of before the presence of God, and then he's going to chase and pursue the woman. That is Israel. Not only Israel, but her seed, when he sees that he can't get to her. And so all of this is going to take place. We're right in our historical setting. We are after the ascension of the man-child and before Israel flees into the wilderness. The war in heaven hasn't taken place yet, but we're actually just given the war in heaven before it happens, while it's happening. So for us, it's already happened, though it hasn't happened yet. But when this war is over, Satan will be cast to the earth with all of his demons. There are already 200 million demons that came out of the abyss that we saw in earlier chapters. There were already demonic forces working in the earth, but there are also demons in heaven as Satan's assistants. But Satan and his demons are going to be cast to the earth, and then you've got this big spiritual mess. It'll be, as Jesus said, like the world has never seen before. You think conditions are bad now, it'll be bad then. But it says that Satan is going to be furious and he's going to be working at that time because he knows he has but a short time. He knows that the second coming of Christ is about to happen at any moment. And so he's furious. Not only does he want to punish the woman and Israel and God's people, he wants to eliminate them because, remember, there's still the 144,000 evangelists, Jewish evangelists, that are sealed and protected. There are still the two witnesses. Remember those two witnesses that were in Jerusalem? They testified in the streets of Jerusalem for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And nobody was able to kill them. They didn't want to hear the message. So you can see why Satan would be chasing the woman and trying to kill off her seed is because while people listen to the gospel message and they respond, he's losing troops. He's losing people to get angry at God, to fight against Christ at his second coming. So he pursues the woman. So we saw the war in heaven. We saw that Michael wins the victory. And we see that there's worship in heaven. As they worship, it says, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. Now Satan is in his last phases of defeat. But as we see now, we now study in verses 13 through 17, the war on the earth. We saw it in heaven, and now the war on the earth. We're going to take three phases, and we're going to take the first one today. Verses 13 and 14. Notice in verse 13, the point in time for reference. Point in time. As we study the persecution of the dragon. Point in time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down into the earth. So when that happened, that's the point in time, here's what happened. He pursued or persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. That's interesting. As I said before, I'm not going to labor the point other than as a way of reminder, and if you haven't heard this before, it'll be your first time. But the word persecution means to chase. When God's people are persecuted, it means Satan chases his people. It doesn't mean that he takes a shovel or a 2x4 or something and beats them over the head. He chases us. That is the most that he can do. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 13, that we are to put on the whole armor of God in order that in the evil day we may be able to resist him. The purpose is to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, is that we are to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand. And thirdly, we are told in the book of Ephesians that our stand is in Christ. Satan wants to fight. Satan wants to chase us. He wants us to run. Not only away from him, but at him. He wants us to be constantly occupied in a battle that's already been won. You see, the moment that I receive Christ, I am in Christ Jesus, and he is in me. In the spiritual order of things, in the spirit realm, he is at the right hand of the Father, and I am in him. And he is far above all rulers and powers and authorities in the spirit realm. Now, before Satan even comes after me, that's my position. When you were a kid, for me that was 10, 15 years ago, when you were a kid, you remember playing King of the Mountain with this big dirt pile, somebody standing on top, everybody tries to throw him off. And whoever's on top last wins. Well, we're already on top of the mountain. We're already there. And we're protected to never be thrown off. So what Satan does is what I used to do when I was a little kid and I'd never be able to be king of the mountain. I'll show him. I throw dirt clods at him. We'll get him out of there somehow. If you can't defeat him, distract him. If you can't defeat him, do something to make him get down themselves. Well, Satan can't do that either. But mentally, he can cause us to think that we're not on top of the mountain anymore, that we're not safe in Christ, that we are no longer in Christ Jesus. He can make us think that, but what he doesn't want us to realize is that we are always in Christ. There's no way to get us away from Christ. Jesus said, no one can take you out of my Father's hand. And Jesus said, no one can take you out of my hand. He shows two hands. The Father's hand and Jesus' hand. And he's like this. No one can take you out of our hands. It's impossible. So what Satan does is he distracts us. He chases us. He pursues us. He tries to get us to be on the run. The Bible tells us, resist him. James chapter 4, verse 7, James says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. He has no power. What he tries to do is chase us and make us weary, mentally weary and physically weary and emotionally weary, so that we make the decision to quit. But see, God won't let us quit. So we go through the struggle. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he pursued the woman. He chased her, who gave birth to the male child. Secondly, verse 14, in this first phase, verses 13 and 14, the three phases of the war on the earth, we saw the persecution of the dragon. Here we see the provision for the woman by God. God's provision for the woman. First of all, there was given to the woman. There's the provision. Something was given to her by God. It's what God does for all of his people. Whenever Satan pursues us, he gives us the provision of himself. Point number one, the provision. What was given to the woman were two wings of the great eagle. This eagle is kind of interesting. This is all Old Testament language. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, it tells us about God's deliverance from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He says, "You have seen what I did to Egypt, and I bore you on the wings of eagles and brought you to me." So the wings of eagles is an Old Testament Hebrew phrase that has to do with God's provision of strength and safety. The wings denote swiftness. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, listen to this. This has to do with Israel returning from the Babylonian captivity. "But the ones waiting for Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall go up with wings as with eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and shall not faint." God says the return of God's people and the ministry of God's people will be on the wings of eagles. They will be strong. They will be swift. And they will not faint. So it's Old Testament language to show God's provision. He didn't literally give them eagle's wings. This is all symbolic language. The swiftness to fly as they went. Now its purpose. "In order that she might fly into the wilderness and into her place where she is being nourished there." The purpose clause, "in order that she might fly." You see, this is why in verse 6 that we just read earlier, that she fled into the wilderness. Why did she fly or flee into the wilderness? Because she was being pursued by Satan. And this pursuit, you might want to mark it in your text, this pursuit was told by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 22. Matthew 24, 15 to 22. Listen to this. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place," let the one who's reading, let him understand, "then let those in Judea flee into the mountains. The one on the housetop, let him not go down to take anything out of his house. And the one who's in the field, let him not turn back to take his clothes. But woe to the ones being pregnant and to those who are nursing in those days. And pray that your flight will not occur in winter nor in a Sabbath. For there will be great affliction, such as has not happened from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor will be. And except that those days were cut short, not any flesh would be saved. But on account of the elect, those days will be cut short." In other words, these last days that we're studying about are going to be so terrible that if God did not come at his second coming, even the very elect could be wiped out. Jesus says that there be such terrible affliction that the world has never seen in all of its history, nor ever will. So God gives her wings to flee into the wilderness. And into her place, she actually has a place in the wilderness. Many people think that this is the rock city of Petra, which is out by the Dead Sea. But it is interesting in Matthew 24 that we just read, Matthew chapter 24, 15 and 16, Jesus said, "When you see the abomination of desolation happen," that is, at the middle of the tribulation period, Satan is going to put up his image in the Holy of Holies. And he says, "When you, Jews, when you see this happen, take off. Don't even bother to go get anything out of your house, but take off and flee." But he says, "Flee into the mountains." That's why people think it's the rock city of Petra. Because he said mountains, we know it's not the coastal plain to the west of Jerusalem. We know it's not the flat Negev desert to the south. The mountains are to the east of Jerusalem. And I find it interesting that over in the east, because the text tells us that the wings of the eagle is so she can fly into the wilderness, into her place where they are nourishing her. Or she is being nourished. Who's going to nourish her? That whole area is the area of the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. I found it interesting that in Daniel chapter 11, verse 41, that God said through prophecy, God will spare Edom, Moab, and Ammon to help Israel. Who are going to be the ones to help Israel? God's going to say, okay, you Moabites and Ammonites and Moabites, I think I'll spare you of judgment because I want to use you. This is like God. God even used Israel's enemies to bring discipline against Israel. He's in charge. He's in charge of everything. God's provision. Next period of time. She is going to be nourished there time, times, and a half of a time. That's a Hebraism. Originated in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and Daniel 12, 7. A time is one, times is two, it's plural, then a half a time, that's 3.5 years. There are three different ways to express this last 3.5 year time that we've seen. In Revelation 11, verses 2 through 3, we saw that it was for 42 months, and it even said 1,260 days. In Revelation 12:6, we saw 1,260 days. That would be a 30-day prophetic calendar. In chapter 13, verse 5, we're going to see that it's mentioned as 42 months. Here it is time, times, and half a time, 3.5 years. She will be nourished and protected out in the wilderness. Now notice the protection. It is from the face of the serpent. You can imagine that Satan at this time is going to be very, very angry. He's pursuing the woman. He's got 144,000 sealed evangelists, Jewish evangelists, proclaiming the gospel message. There are two witnesses in town that everybody's trying to kill and can't do it. In the same way you want to kill them, you're being killed. They are protected by God. Israel is protected by God until he comes back. Not only are we studying what is actually going to happen in the spirit realm and upon the earth at that time. A very, very great affliction that's going to be on the earth. Not only are we going to see that, but what we need to see is the thread of God's provision. That no matter what Satan tried to do to the woman, God was there to give her protection and provision. The same for all of God's people. Yes, things are terrible in this earthly life. Yes, spiritually speaking, there's so much more evil now than has been in past years, and it's going to keep getting worse. But you and I have the promise that Jesus Christ will never leave us or forsake us. You and I have the promise, as he's given in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the reason why Antichrist has not been revealed is because of the Holy Spirit in God's people on the earth at the time. That's why we're the salt of the earth. We're a preservative. Wherever we live and wherever we go, I realize that a lot of the anger that's expressed by this community, or a few in the community, is because the outward public evil acts that have taken place in the past are now being pushed back. We see illegal activity, we call the sheriff. You don't do that out here. We do. And all the activities are just backing off and backing off, and people are getting angry that they can't be free to do their evil in the streets anymore. People are going to become angry at the presence of God's Spirit in a person's life. And it's going to get worse. But for today, as you leave, leave knowing that God is our eagle. His wings take us up above and beyond. He protects us and he provides for us with safety. And not just with safety, but he uses others to minister to us and give us our provision. Because we are God's children. So hopefully today as we leave, and next week we're going to finish out this chapter as we study the second and third phases of the war here upon the earth. But please notice that Satan keeps getting angrier and angrier and angrier because God's people are being protected. Right now in your life, Satan is angry because you're protected, because he can't have you. So he tries to chase you through circumstances, trying to get you to feel like you have to run and that you have no protection. But it's not the case. It's not the truth. Spiritually, we're in Christ, and we're told to resist him, not fight him. He's already been defeated. Just know that it's his faithfulness that provides for us every single need that we have. So we're called upon to be at peace, to have confidence in Christ and have courage when we face life. Because if Christ is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. He can make us feel that all of life is against us. That's not the truth. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us your victory. And even though we're studying of that victory in the future, we're also studying it right now in our lives. We have the victorious Christ living within. As Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of courage, because I have overcome the world." Because Christ lives within, we also have overcome and will overcome the world and the Antichrist. We pray that you'd minister these truths to our minds and hearts in the midst of the difficulties of life when we don't feel like we're saved or we don't feel like we're right, that we can trust by faith that indeed our right standing with God is because of Jesus Christ. And our spiritual position, not physical, but our spiritual position is to be in Christ at the right hand of the throne of God, far above all the principalities and powers. And so you call us to stand, resist, because we are already victors in the Spirit. We pray by your Spirit you would help us, comfort us, and encourage us with these things. Pray in Jesus' name.